The Suzie Sunday Brunch Show with Clive Hilton in the community. Supporting local charities, events and social initiatives that make a refreshing difference.
So we talk about St Catherine's Hospice quite a bit on Suzie Radio, and today I'm lucky enough to come along and visit their very new site. And with me now I've got Giles Thomson, who's Chief Exec, and Wayne Stepney, who heads up Site Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Clive. Good morning to all your listeners.
Yeah, good morning, Clive, and thank you once again for coming to St Catherine's. It's a pleasure to talk to you as always.
What a fantastic site.
We're really, really happy to be here. You know, it's been a 10-year story since the land was donated to us in 2013, and we're only here because so many people stepped up and gave their money, gave their time in volunteering to enable us to move from our old site in Crawley to this new one here at Peas Pottage. And obviously, it's a bigger site with more capacity for services in the future. And obviously, your listeners are crucial in our ongoing story to raise money, raise much-needed funds to care for people at the end of life and in bereavement.
And of course, we're with St Catherine's Hospice all this morning. We're going to talk to many of your staff before we finish the show at midday. And just quickly crossing to you, Wayne, old site versus new site, what are some of the big differences?
The main big difference is our patient spaces, which was key to the design of this building to make sure that each patient had their own individual spaces. And within that individual space, they got a lovely ensuite bathroom, hoist, nurse call bell system, medical gas system, and most importantly, their own private gardens, because that's really important that family can take time out with their loved one and spend time with them at a crucial stage of the services we're providing. And also just linking into the community here, we've also got an amazing cafe here just opposite, 10 steps away from the main front door of the hospice, which serves the community of Woodgate, but further catchment areas which we support. And it's really rewarding to see our relatives using that space as well. So,
and it's a complete world away from the previous site you had.
Oh yes, as many of your listeners may know, we were on a site that was only 1.8 acres, had four buildings. I mean, I wouldn't see some of my staff from one day to the next because they'd be in a different building to me. So being in one building, being together with the fundraising team, the finance team, all the clinicians, the people on the ground delivering the service in front of patients and with patients, is fantastic new vibe for us. And I think we're delivering even more outstanding care than we've done in the past because we're all together and we can see, as people come and go from reception, what it's all about day to day.
You must be very proud of the team. We're going to talk to quite a few coming up. Also, if you're listening at home and you want to support St Catherine's Hospice, we'll get into the different ways that you can do that, including the Midnight Walk, which is coming up in June.
Oh yes, if anybody's interested in coming on the Midnight Walk, I'll be very, very happy to see them off and then welcome them back in the wee hours of the morning as they've walked either 7, 14 or 20 miles. So a very exciting night for us because so many people walk in memory of someone they've loved, in their memory to try and raise vital funds for our hospice, because hospice care is 70% funded by donations by local people.
Wow.
It's an amazing record across the whole of Sussex as to what is going on for local hospices up and down the county. It's fabulous.
So Wayne, it's an amazing space. Obviously, listeners can make a difference by donating, which we'll talk to later, but how else can listeners make a difference to this space?
Okay, Clive, so what's really important is we've got this beautiful open spaces as you come through a reception area, and we've got 24 individual patient rooms. And actually, sometimes, just a lovely bunch of flowers. So maybe some of your listeners are going out to a florist or they're going to Tesco's, see a bunch of flowers, bring it in. That make a huge difference to our patients and relatives and really lifts the mood within St Catherine's public areas. Most importantly, our patient spaces.
So if you're going out shopping today, do grab that extra bunch of flowers and pop in to St Catherine's Hospice up in Peas Pottage. They'd be very grateful. Thank you very much, Giles.
Thank you very
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thank you, Clive. You talked about pride, Clive. I would like to end by saying the greatest pride is all the people who stepped up to help make this happen. You know, the land donation, all the people who donated money, 3,000 people from Surrey and Sussex have donated money to enable this hospice to find new feet, new life here at Peas Pottage. But the ongoing challenge in the future will be to run a bigger hospice, providing more care
and expand,
and support and expand it into the future, because that's what our local community really, really needs.
Lovely, and we'll be talking to that later in the show, so stay tuned. This is Suzie Sunday Brunch. So with me now, I've got Laura Bland, who's Communications PR Manager, also Katie Costello, who's Healthcare Assistant and Community Team there, and Wayne Stepney is still with me as well. Now, just quickly, there must be a lot of memorable stories over the years, given what St. Catherine's Hospice does and the services provided. Just quickly go around you, picking out a story that comes to mind that stayed with you. Who wants to go first? Wayne.
Okay, so a memorable story for me. It's about my team making that difference from at an end-of-life care from a non-clinical perspective. So obviously it's just not just for weddings and celebrating that patient's life story. It could be a birthday. But one memorable story for me is a patient we had in our Malthouse Road site where she had a horse and she wanted to say goodbye to her horse before she died. So my team orchestrated that with her family. And working with the inpatient unit team, we managed to take the patient outside in her bed, and then the horse box arrived and the horse came out, and the sorry, it still makes me a bit emotional now. The horse came up to the patient, and the patient managed to kiss her horse goodbye before she died later that day. So that really sticks in my mind of actually, from a non-clinical perspective, to be able to do that sort of service to our patient is an amazing thing to be able to offer.
Just going that extra mile. Absolutely. To make that huge difference. And if we quickly, Laura, do you want to go next?
A memorable story for me was when I met a lady who was in the hospice with her mum, and she wanted to have a final cocktail with her mum. So it was a lovely sunny day, it was July, and they went out into the garden and they were talking about previous beach holidays, and they spoke to our kitchen and catering team, who made them up some fresh cocktails, and they sat in the hospice garden together with their sunnies on drinking these cocktails. And that's always stayed with me, because I think we've all been on a beach holiday and those memories are just so precious, and there's something we can give people at the hospice that other healthcare settings can't.
Wow, I'm trying to keep a dry eye with this. We can all remember those holidays and to relive those moments in the last days. Wonderful. Well, Laura, thank you very much. And over to Katie.
I think when you're in the community, we're keeping people at home if that's their wish. We're enabling them to die where they feel safe, where they feel comfortable, more often than not, where they feel loved. And there's a situation recently that we had that actually has come up many times, but it really reminded me of the impact of the work that we do. And we'd gone in to support, emotionally support a family, talk to them about what they were seeing, comfort and reassure them. We didn't need to do anything. It was just about reassuring them that they were doing actually everything they needed to do for their mum. The clinicians had done the most incredible job supporting her physically, and her family was supporting her emotionally, and that was all she needed. So what we got to do was go in and support that whole family as a whole.
And I guess there's two sides to that, right? The person going through the death, making it comfortable, but also for the relatives afterwards not to be left with that trauma and to know that it was as good as it could be, and it was honouring the wishes.
Absolutely.
I think makes a difference as well.
More than we know. And I think that's, again, as a hospice as a whole, we're here to talk about this stuff and support people to understand everything that they may go through. Everybody's different, everybody's unique, but there are certain things that we may experience through the dying process that if we understand in a better way, it has that knock-on effect on our grief going forward, because what we're experiencing, we understand more, we can connect to more, we can be more present with if we want to be. And that's where every department comes in. We can support that family and every person in that situation to ensure that whatever they experience is as maybe gentle or calm as it possibly could be for the next part in their lives, when they have to move forward without their person in it.
Thank you very much, Katie. We're with St. Catherine's Hospice all this morning as Susie Sunday Brunch, and we're going to be coming back to Katie shortly to find out more about the services they offer in the community. And if you're sat at home and thinking, oh, I want to help St. Catherine's Hospice, we'll also cover that off before midday as well.
Can you hear me calling out your name?
So, Katie Costello is still with us, healthcare assistant, community team. Now, it's an amazing hospice here at St. Catherine's. You've got both wards open, 12 patients across, and there's room to expand as well. But 80% of the care is given at home, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm part of the community team, and yeah, we look after people whose wishes to die at home or whose physical needs need to be managed and they want to stay at home for as long as possible. And my team in particular, we are called the Hospice at Home team. So the care that people get here at the hospice, they absolutely get, and then some at home in their own space.
And that includes the equipment, medication, extra experiences as well.
The medication we liaise with our nursing team and our doctors, and that's how we support them that way. The physical care, yes, we are very much involved in the hands-on physical care in as much or as or little ways as people need it. It's all about them, how they want it done. It might be baths and showers if they're able. It might be enabling them to have full care, a full wash, in the right equipment in their own home. Maybe not, it's not the same as their own bed, but they can have the right bed that supports them physically. They can still have a hair wash. They can still have their nails painted. They can still have a wet shave every day. You know, all the things that are important to us that we do without thinking, and that it's part of our own identity, it's part of our independence. We can help support that at home as well.
And I think when we get to this point in life, it happens to all of us, right? It's a bit of a taboo subject. Sometimes family members and those supporting don't quite know what to do to care for their loved one. And I guess even getting some advice and getting some support in that makes a massive difference.
It's a huge difference. And I think that's the thing. We don't come in to take over a situation. We come in to support. We come in to reassure. We come in to help in any way that people need. So in some situations, if people are at home and they have family or they have carers or people around them, our role may be to support them. It may be to help them figure out how the care is best done, giving them handy hints and tips about what they can do to help somebody physically. Also being there to just hear them. You know, if they are doing the care and they just need support, we are there to pop in so they know that their person is being seen. You know, somebody's clapping eyes on them. But actually, they know they've got somebody to talk about their worries or to discuss things that they're not sure about or how to do things or where to go and who to talk to. So we are really there. We use the term a lot in our team, saying that we scoop people up. So we go in to scoop them up, see what they need and help figure out how best we can help as a hospice, whether that be our occupational therapists, our physiotherapists with equipment, whether it be connecting them to the clinical nurse specialists, or whether it's us that just pop in and it's just a friendly face that they can see and talk to. And actually, do you know what? Sometimes have a laugh with.
Yeah.
It's not always doom and gloom. And even in the most difficult of circumstances, more often than not, there is so much love. There's, you know, there's a lot more going on, and not everybody wants it to be all sad and somber and, you know, the sad side head tilt that people give.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Katie. Just quickly, anyone listening at home that feels that they'd like to access some of these services, what's the best way of doing that?
Give us a call. Just have a look online. There is so much information on our website. Interestingly, if you're out there in the community and you do need help, I know it's hard to get hold of, but do speak to your GP. Do ask for help, because we don't know you're there if you don't tell us. We do our best, and we have so many incredible supporters. Every department in the hospice is committed to helping as many people in our community as we can, but it might mean that you have to put your hand up and ask. And you can ask anybody, contact any department. We will more than willingly point you in the right direction.
And so many people don't ask. That's the reason I ask. I mean, so many people don't ask for support, and it's quite simple. It can be as much or as little as you might need. And of course, all of this is made possible by your funding, which we'll get to later in the programme as well.
Exactly. Thank you, Clive.
Thank you very much, Katie. The Goo Goo Dolls, and I Like You. Many thanks to Katie from St Catherine's Hospice. Just heard from her. And after the 11 o'clock news, we are going to be back with St Catherine's Hospice, the medical director, some volunteers, the wider staff, and hearing all about the midnight walk that you can get involved with in June. So stay tuned for that.
She's wearing an old dress, walking in.
So we're at St Catherine's Hospice all this morning, and now with me I've got the medical director, Dr Patricia Braden, and you've been here since 2000, so you've seen St Catherine's Hospice go through quite a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've seen a lot of change over the years. When I first started working at St Catherine's, the majority of the people who were referred to us tended to have advanced cancer. Some of them had AIDS, and for the people with cancer, they were very often very much in the last months of their life. They'd often finished their cancer treatment and there was no further treatment for them. And over the years, things have really changed. Treatment of cancer has become more successful, so people live with cancer and having cancer treatment for a lot longer. So we're often involved in people's care for considerably longer periods
term
of time.
Yeah.
And we're kind of dipping in and out of their care. And AIDS has become a completely different disease, and we hardly ever see it these days because people live well with HIV. Mm-hmm. So that's a disease that we hardly see at all. But what we've recognised over the years is that there are lots of people with palliative care needs and with symptom control and other needs coming to the end of their life with a range of different conditions. So there's the neurological diseases, things like motor neurone disease, but also the organ failures, if you like, the heart failure, the significant lung disease, liver failure, and of course dementia. And as our population ages, what we're seeing is a larger population of people who are likely to be in the last year or so of life and have got multiple different conditions and are living with moderate or severe frailty. And some of those people have got cancer as well, some haven't. So now probably nearly half of the people referred to us have diseases other than cancer.
Yeah, it's a brilliant team you have here, Patricia. And for anyone listening at home, where they're reaching that point caring for someone, a loved one, I guess it's a bit of a step, isn't it, asking for support and reaching out. What would be, in your experience, you know, what words of wisdom would you share with those people that are reaching that point that might need the services of St. Catherine's?
I think the first thing I would probably acknowledge is that when most people hear the word hospice, they think about a building where people come to die. Mm. And I think what I'd want to say is the whole philosophy of hospice care is about enabling you to live as well as possible until you die. Mm. So it's as, you know, please ask for our support, because we can do that. We can do that by finding out what symptoms or issues are troubling you most, mm-hmm. and help to tackle them. So whether that's treating pain or whether that's talking to you about how to support your grandchildren, yep. or navigating the complex financial issues.
It's a full 360.
Absolutely that. Yeah. And I think the other thing that I would say is one of the things that we are skilled at doing and we help people do is think ahead and prepare ahead a little bit. And it's something that none of us like to think about the end of our life.
Yep.
But actually, many of us probably have ideas about what would be important to us. You know, would it be important to be completely free of pain? Would it be more important to be at home? Would it be more important to have one's family and friends around you? Is it more important to, if further treatment is not likely to be very successful, where would you rather be?
Yeah.
And actually having those conversations might feel a bit scary, but actually once you've had them, it's very reassuring, and it helps make sure that the end of your life is as good as it can be, not just for you, but also for the people that you leave behind.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, Patricia. It's a very sensitive topic, and thank you very much for sharing your words of wisdom.
You're welcome.
So I hope you're enjoying the show this morning. A week on Tuesday, it's St. George's Day, and next Saturday there are a few different celebrations in Hawley and Crawley that I'll share more on before we get to midday. And of course, on Sunday brunch today, we are joined by St. Catherine's Hospice. Now, of course, last Friday I went up there to their new facility in Peace Pottage and met a lot of the staff and volunteers to compile these interviews. And hopefully you are getting a sense of what they do in the community. I think we all feel we know what St. Catherine's Hospice do and are about, but when I went there, it was incredible, phenomenal, the extent to which they make a difference in the community, quite frankly. And hopefully you are finding these interviews useful as well. And I went and spoke to Rosie Mercado and asked her about her role.
Well, my role as welfare advisor is to support patients and carers and family members with navigating the complexities of their benefit entitlements. So what we do is look at maximising income, supporting them to reduce their outgoings, making sure that they are claiming all the relevant benefits that they're entitled to claim. There's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about what you can and can't claim when it comes to the benefit system. So it's our job to sort of provide information and support people to make those claims.
Brilliant.
If they're eligible for those.
I mean, especially if you're caring for someone's health and you're worried about them and going through all of that emotional anxiety, to have someone help with, quite frankly, admin, paperwork, and, yeah, and the complexity, as you say, navigating through what you can and can't do. Because, you know, even without these issues, going through the government websites and working out, yeah, is tough, right?
Can be difficult. And I think what we've realised is, recently, particularly with the cost of living crisis, we're all struggling. Mm. We've all found that, the financial hardship that we're facing is difficult for everyone. So when you add that to a life-limiting diagnosis, mm, and maybe having to stop working or unable to do as many hours as you used to do, that you've got caring responsibilities for someone, and that's having a huge impact on your household income, it's just really being able to understand what you can claim for and how you go about that process.
Liz Atkinson with me now, healthcare assistant on the ward. Just from your perspective, can you think of a story where there's been a patient that's stuck out in your mind where you thought, wow, I really enjoyed working with that person and made a big difference? Can you think
so
of
many.
A story?
So many. It is such a privilege to do the job that I do. Mm. My background is actually a beauty therapist.
Okay.
So I like to try and bring some of that experience to my role, and I'm able to offer massage to people. And I've used that on so many patients with, you know, great effect. You know, it's a scary time for a lot of people. So to be able to offer that is a real privilege, and it makes a huge difference to people. Not everyone likes it, it's not for everybody, but, you know, where it's right, it works really well.
And I think this is something that strikes me from talking to all of the staff here. Everyone's keen to go the extra mile to make a real difference to someone's care.
It's the Susie Sunday Brunch Show with Clive Hilton, every Sunday from 10 a.m. to midday. 103.4 FM.
20 minutes to 12 now, and still to come, we got the final piece with St Catherine's Hospice, finding out about their midnight run and also fundraising and talking to a volunteer as well. Stick around for that. So Danielle Murphy is with me now. Quite an important job, fundraising manager, because to make all of this possible relies on you and the team to bring this to life. Now, we've got the Midnight Walk coming up in June. Tell me more about that.
Yes, we do. So our Midnight Walk is on the 8th of June, 2024. It starts from 8 p.m. all mm-hmm. the way through to the night. It will see our supporters walking through the streets of Horsham wearing our lovely orange colours. It starts at Broadbridge Heath Leisure Centre, the Bridge Leisure Centre. We have four routes available. So we have a 2-mile route, a 7-mile route, a 13-mile route, and a 20-mile route. So there is something for
everyone. There's something for everyone.
Yes, yes, there's something for everyone. We could walk, people are walking in memory of somebody, they just want to support their local hospice, or they just want to test their fitness. So it will be a really, really nice night.
So this is, remind me of the date again.
8th of June.
8th of June, which is a Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday night. So if you feel like going on a walk and supporting St. Catherine's Hospice, how can someone get involved?
You can register through our website. So that's, our website is stch.org.uk, or you can call us on 01293 447 361.
So if you're listening at home, do think about this, joining St Catherine's Hospice on the Midnight Walk in June. It should be a nice dry evening, various lengths of walk there, and of course fundraising for this brilliant work at the hospice. Fantastic, looking forward to that. Now, also, in other ways to support, you can do one-off donations via your website as well. But it would be great if people chose to give, no matter how small an amount, each month, because these reoccurring monthly amounts will help you do more of this amazing work. Yes. And have more residents here.
Yes, indeed. There's two ways we can do that. So again, like you say, the monthly gift, whatever amount is comfortable mm-hmm. for you. We also have a lottery. So for £5 a month, you can join our lottery. That will give you the chance to win up to £1,000 every Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's been running now for 40 years.
Thank you very much, Danielle.
No problem.
So we're at St Catherine's Hospice all this morning on Susie Sunday Brunch, and this place wouldn't be possible without the volunteers. And Hannah Romaine, you look after how many volunteers?
We've got 800 volunteers across our shop and our hospice that help run the organisation.
Wow, and if someone sat at home and they want to get involved volunteering and some of the services perhaps that they can help with, what would you say to them?
So come and get involved. We have over 40 active role profiles. There's something from in our kitchens to working in our cafe and community hub, out in our shops. We have 14 shops across the borough that we cover. So have a look on our website to see what we've got on offer.
And as a brilliant example, we've got Graham Ellis here, who since 2017 has been offering meditation here at St Catherine's Hospice.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, it started in 2017, and since then I've been doing it with patients, carers and staff, also bedside meditations one-to-one, and it's proved quite successful, and it helps people to relax, remain calm, whatever they're going through, to put that to one side and just rest and relax. And it's part of a palliative care treatment, you know, and it's a mind-body connection which helps people. And for me, it's been a great privilege to do it. And I met some fantastic people. And
yeah.
Not only amongst the staff, but the patients. And it's proved quite popular.
Thank you very much, Graham, for all of your volunteering, all of the time here spent over the years doing your meditation. Fantastic difference you're making to the patients. And if you're at home, you want to do some volunteering like Graham, do reach out to Hannah Romaine at St Catherine's Hospice, and they would love to have
your time.
My
boss on my left here. She will put you in the right place.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Clive.
Thank you. Prima donna, gonna
go. Just want to say a huge thank you once again to everybody at St Catherine's Hospice for making me feel so welcome last Friday and sharing your stories. Absolutely clear to me what a difference that team, when they come together and make a real difference for everybody in their care. It's amazing work you do. Keep up the good work. And if you've been listening at home, hopefully some of this has been conveyed and you get a sense, a better sense of what St Catherine's Hospice do for us in the community. If you missed any part of it, don't worry, it will be on the on demand section at susieradio.com later today, so you can listen back. Also, I'll include a link to the St Catherine's Hospice website so you can sign up for the Midnight Walk. Hopefully I'll see you on the Midnight Walk in June, and there's other ways to help too. The link will be there, and check out the interviews if you've missed any. Thank you very much again, everybody at St Catherine's Hospice, and keep up the brilliant work. Sometimes I just can't take it.